This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, this is the Caged Animal Show. No, this is the Paracast, but sometimes you could feel like you're a caged animal if you're stuck in your home or other place of residence day after day. So, Randall, how's it treating you? How is this isolation? Are you engaged in self-isolation?
I'm one of those people who tend to be fairly isolated anyway. I live alone. I don't socialize a lot. And I'm, for all intent and purpose, retired. So I'm one of the lucky ones, actually. It hasn't been a huge change for me. I used to go out and enjoy, you know, hanging out at the coffee shops and meeting up with some friends here and there. But I didn't have a huge social life like back, you know, in my 30s and when I was playing in a rock band, which was a whole entirely different life altogether. Up here in Calgary, we were supposed to be opening up coffee shops and restaurants this week, but they pushed it back till the end of the month. So the shops up here had ordered food and preparations to be able to open, and now they're concerned that some of the stuff that they'd ordered that is perishable will go bad because they pushed it back again. How about down there?
Nick Redfern, of course, you work at home as a writer, but how has this entire situation been treating you?
Well, I guess like most people, you know, the impact is always negative. I work at home as well, you know, so I do 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, but I like my evenings and I like my weekends off and out, you know, and but I'm not stupid and I don't want to go out and just risk dying for the sake of a couple of beers and a girlfriend, you know, that kind of stuff. So from my perspective, you know, I've been doing what I think is the responsible thing to do. I'm getting my food in about every 3 weeks, and between those 3 weeks, I don't go outside other than to get the mail in. And I drive the car around the block a couple of times to make sure the battery's working properly. But yeah, I'm just sort of stocked up with movies and books and music and literally, as I said, about every 3 weeks, I'll just go up to my local Albertson store, get enough food and drink and water and everything else for 3 to 4 weeks, and then I don't come out again for another 3 to 4 weeks. Not much fun, but on the other hand, you know, in terms of work, I mean, you know, I guess the downside for me is specifically things like TV shows, conferences, and lectures, you know, so that's where it kind of hits me. It actually, funnily enough, it actually hasn't hit me in the book industry at all. Book publishers are still buying books, book ideas, manuscripts from me, just as simple as they were, you know, the last 20 years. I've not seen a downside on the number they're buying. Some of them, admittedly, are cutting back on the advances they pay because, you know, it's spiraled across to them as well. So there is that side. But in terms of, you know, staying above the water, so to speak, you know, I'm like most people, you just got to be careful and sort of project ahead, really.
Well, the one thing, of course, that we see here is also I work at home and I get out just long enough. When I am among people, I wear the face mask, and I see people who don't, who think that they are invulnerable. They're superheroes. What disappoints me about TV shows is that some of my favorite TV shows had smaller seasons because they stopped working because of the pandemic. They stopped putting out new shows. And now the fall season may extend to January before new shows begin. So there are fewer shows. I kind of think also that maybe more people will have time to read their books now because you're waiting at home till something happens. Speaking of which, anytime we have Nick on, almost any time, he has a book out. And this is one of the most interesting in recent years, not because Nick is saying something here that kind of matches up with a theory I voiced that nobody cares about, but now Nick writes about it and has suggested it. You know, that's a lot different, I guess. Now, to preface this, you had written about the Roswell case, Nick Redfern, as involving an experiment, not a visitation by E.T. Maybe, why don't you summarize that before we lead into what led you to write The Rendlesham Forest UFO Conspiracy, A Close Encounter Exposed as a Top Secret Government Experiment. Nick?
You want me to talk a little bit about the Roswell one, you mean?
Let's talk compliments about Roswell, because it kind of gets you in the frame of mind for something like this.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind at all that something very weird and strange happened outside of Roswell in the summer of 47. You know, even the U.S. government, the Air Force, don't dispute the fact that something came down. You know, they take the view, crash test dummies and high-altitude balloons and things like this. Well, back in 2001, I was put in contact with three sort of old-timer whistleblowers, if you like, and a former nurse, a retired nurse, and they shared with me a story that collectively they were all part of the story, and they said that Roswell was really a series of high-altitude balloon flights that were designed to sort of address issues like not just high altitude, but cosmic rays, and really go into sort of the, you know, the fringes of the stratosphere, so to speak, and that some of these experiments were what we would call sort of not exactly legal or ethical, and that people were used in, as guinea pigs in these experiments, and some of them went wrong, and they had these large lifting bodies attached to these huge balloon arrays went wrong, and the whole thing was hidden under sort of a crashed UFO banner, if you like. And over the years, I've sort of gone on to uncover further data that still goes down that pathway. The idea of people being used against their will in the late 40s, and it involved like the German paperclip scientists, particularly ones working in the field of medicine. Sort of very dark and disturbing issue, if you like. And I was actually told that there were a number of these accidents in the summer of 47 that they just didn't work well. But the only one that really reached the public and the media was the Roswell one, because, as it was explained to me, they retrieved all of the other ones and the debris and the bodies with no problem, because they knew where they were. But there was a problem with one of these things that came down when they had this storm, and it was blown further away than they were anticipated and couldn't find it because it was a nighttime flight. And the reason why it was a nighttime flight is because a lot of people may not know this, but a lot of the early balloons of the military in 47, but not just in 47, but in the summer months, they got so hot, sometimes they would quite literally sort of explode. And so there were a lot of experiments were undertaken during the night time in the desert. And that's basically a pinned down version, you know, as human experiments, high altitude balloons, guinea pigs against their will, and hidden behind UFOs.
Now, something like this, what has been the reaction of the rest of the community? Because you stepped kind of on a sacred cow here, that Roswell was really the biggest case ever to prove that E.T. is visiting us. But before we get to that, and we'll talk about his explorations of Roswell and the reaction of the UFO community, before we get into what might have really happened at Rendlesham, and maybe not a visitation by something from way out there, We have Nick Redfern. Well, the book is The Rendlesham Forest UFO Conspiracy. You're here with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So what has been the reaction of people in the UFO field for, I guess, kind of stepping on a sacred cow there?
With Roswell still, you mean?
Yes, before we get to the next sacred cow.
Okay. Well, I mean, the first thing I should stress, you know, I don't sort of try and destroy these cases for the sake of it. I sort of question the UFO angle of all this because I think there are far more plausible scenarios. You know, if you look at the whole time frame with Roswell, in the summer of 1947, you know, you've got Los Alamos, you've got the White Sands missile range, used to be the White Sands proving ground, experiments with monkeys and chimpanzees, German scientists coming over, and also rumors of some of the plans captured at the end of the Second World War from the Japanese of huge balloon arrays that they were planning to fly across the Pacific and sort of launch attacks that way. So you put all those things together, sort of like chimpanzees, monkeys, you know, German scientists, Japanese scientists, all this going on in New Mexico, and then suddenly something comes down, which actually superficially does sound like a large balloon array. You know, there was no reports of like power systems or engines or warp drives or nothing like that. It was just this huge field of debris, which did sound like a large field of debris from a balloon. This is exactly what all the people I interviewed, the old guys, said to me exactly what it was, that it was a huge balloon array that was that lifted this lifting body. What happened was that there was a disaster and the balloon separated from the body itself. And so what you have is the craft itself, this lifting body, because of its weight, plummets to the ground, but then this huge balloon is still blown by the wind. And that's why you have the legendary two sites, one where there's the debris field that Brazel found, and then you've got the craft sort of like a mile or two further away, because they separated high in the sky, so you have one plummet to the ground and the lighter one gets blown further. You know, when you put all that together, to me at least, that makes a great deal of sense. But when it comes to the UFO research community, common sense doesn't always come into the equation. What people want to hear are exciting tales of, for example, alien autopsies and back engineering of alien technology. But the whole Roswell angle, people want that. And, you know, I don't care when they say they believe it's an extraterrestrial event, Roswell we're talking about. Nobody should be striving to believe that Roswell is extraterrestrial. What we should all be striving to do is to find the answers, regardless of what the answers are. When I go into any case, you know, I look at it from the perspective of the data and the evidence and the testimony. I don't go looking for data that is going to present a scenario that ufology could do. You know, so in that sense, I mean, as I said, I don't do it for the sake of it. I certainly don't do it for the money, because there's not a great deal of capital in stating, you know, that a certain UFO event didn't happen. You know, most people who wrote about Roswell and Rendlesham have written it from the perspective that these events did occur as UFO events. But I don't think that's the case. So, you know, I'm not going to lie about it, but I am going to be, you know, sort of fully honest and say that I can tell you from experience that what I do, saying that Rendlesham wasn't extraterrestrial, saying Roswell wasn't extraterrestrial, does not make me in any kind of position or situation that advances my life in any way at all, you know. And I certainly don't take it for the grief, you know, from people in ufology. I enjoy a good sort of argument with people. I don't mind that, you know, that's fun. But, you know, when people say, oh, Nick does this for the money, you know, says this for the money or whatever, well, I'm not lying or exaggerating now when I say that if you write a non-UFO book or a book about a UFO that never was, I can assure you, if you're lucky, you'll earn as much as it sort of took to put the book together in the first place, you know. So, you know, but I do it because I feel you know, if I uncover this data, I feel it's important to put out there, you know. That really is what it comes down to.
And so you should. It does put you in this situation, though, Nick, because you have written so many different books that are on the fringe about psi-related topics, the paranormal. They're all about that. So someone who doesn't necessarily realize that you do take a skeptical approach, those people are all, oh, Nick Redfern, you know, he's another one of those people who write about all of that paranormal nonsense. And then the people who do believe go, oh, that Nick, he's, you know, he's always writing some alternative theory, you know, when we already know that it's a spaceship. So, I mean, you're caught right in the middle of it all.
Well, I mean, that doesn't bother me. I mean, it's not like I'm sort of some sort of cowardly person who sort of hides in the corner of a room, you know. I stand my ground, you know, and if people want to get into an argument, a fight, you know, head to head, I'm cool with that, you know. I've got thick skin, I don't mind. But yeah, when people say that, you know, I do this or I do that, and the one that often pops up, and this unfortunately dictates not a small percentage, but a persistent percentage of ufologies. Whenever I put a book out like this, at least five or six people will pop up in the first day or two basically saying, oh, Nick's being paid by the CIA or, you know, or the NSA or sort of get me buying his next car, that kind of. Well, no one's actually ever said they're buying his new car.
You know, Nick, you should have the CIA buy you a brand new notebook computer so you can use Skype. You know, that's first thing, and they're really late with those checks, aren't they?
Yes. But yeah, I get that at least, as I said, five or six times within the first week, you guarantee that somebody will bring up the idea that, quote, Nick works for the government, you know, and which is just ridiculous, you know, and I do it because I feel it needs to be done. Maybe it's just my mindset, but I've never really understood why it's wrong to go down the alternative path when you believe that is the answer, you know. But I see so many times when I did that, when the Roswell book came out, the second one I did in 2017, I did a number of lectures and radio and spoke at the Roswell Festival in New Mexico, and so many people were not, so a lot of people thought, wow, this is actually quite interesting. They thought I was just going to debunk everything and there was going to be no data or evidence or scenarios.
We cannot debunk this and more with Nick Redfern. Coming up with Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
It's another weekend of protests by people demanding that everything be reopened, despite people still getting infected with COVID-19. Roberta Baker joined demonstrators in Lisbon, Ohio.
Ohio does not have a dictatorship, and we need to get across to people that we still are not allowed to gather in groups of more than 10. We still are not allowed to gather with our families and our friends.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says some things are getting back to normal in his state, but it has to be done with great care.
Reopening, right? You're on the other side of the tunnel. And how do you reopen? And reopening smartly, intelligently, with individual responsibility. So understanding you're going to see an increase in the numbers, but you don't want to see a spike.
This is USA Radio News. The Navajo Nation is getting more aggressive in fighting COVID-19, and USA Radio's John Hunt has the story.
Residents of the Navajo Nation will be under the strictest weekend lockdown in the United States. Grocery stores, gas stations, and other businesses will be closed, and essential workers are being told to stay at home until Monday around dawn. The Navajo Nation president made the announcement after a spike in deaths. The tribe now reports 127 deaths and 3,600 positive cases since it first began tracking. The Navajo Nation has been hit harder by the coronavirus than any other Native American reservation.
The Department of Education and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos face a class action lawsuit demanding a stop to garnishment of student borrowers' wages. The suit was filed in District of Columbia Federal Court on behalf of borrowers whose paychecks continued to be garnished for student loans, which is a violation of the CARES Act. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Nick Redfern. He's joining us, of course, to talk about primarily his new book, The Rendlesham Forest UFO Conspiracy. And now he's kind of giving us a little bit of the background of the fact that he's written stuff that may be contrary to conventional wisdom, but that's not why he writes those books, because if he was hoping to be very rich and famous, he's in the wrong business. Let's continue the discussion, Nick. I caught you in the middle of something. Let's continue.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, when you're looking at this whole angle, you know, I've never really understood why people get upset if a case is solved and it turns out to be extraterrestrial. I get it. I understand it. You know, I'm in the field as well. I understand it. But we should be more in line in relation to finding answers and congratulate each other for what we've found.
Absolutely no argument there, Nick. And actually, yeah, I consider myself to be a ufologist, but pretty much an armchair ufologist, but I'm pretty serious about it. I do it as more than, you know, just a pastime. So I think I would qualify. You are one of the authors that I always appreciate just for the reasons that you just described. It's always interesting reading your books. I've got a whole number of them on my shelf, and they never fail to be interesting and thought-provoking, ever.
Well, I appreciate that, but sometimes people don't want that. What they want is cool stories that are going to sort of excite them. And
well,
if that's
yeah.
what people want, well, you know, that's how it goes, but that isn't how it should go.
What they're expecting here is Nick's going to be like the classic rock and roll star. That, like John Fogerty, who still sings Proud Mary 50 years after it was done. You know, they expect him to just play the hits and not come up with new stuff. Now, I really want to start moving heavily into this because it's getting to be more involved than we might think. In fact, you've got a section looking over here. You also talk about the Hicks and Parker case, the Pascagoula, Mississippi case. And before we get to Rendlesham, I'm going to ask you about that. Do you think that also was some kind of government experiment?
Yes, I do. And again, not just for the sake of it. I mean, the Hicks and Parker case is to abductions what Roswell is to UFO crashes, you know. It's sort of one of the defining events in that particular aspect of ufology. Now, the reason why I mention the Hicks and Parker case in the book is for a very relevant but also controversial reason. Now, everybody, I'm sure, listening has heard of the Parker-Hickson case, and I actually spent a weekend at a conference last weekend with Calvin Parker. You know, had a really good time hanging out, and, you know, I don't think he was, you know, lying at all. I don't think he exaggerated. I think he saw what he saw based on his own perceptions, and that's where he gets sort of controversial. You know, someone's perceptions are altered, then what you're seeing may not be what you're actually seeing, but you are honestly telling the story as you see it. And that's exactly how I feel about Calvin Parker, you know, totally honesty. Now, what's one of the most important things is to note, and a lot of people don't know this, unfortunately, is that the area of the Mississippi River where they were fishing on the night when they were abducted, not too far away, just a couple of miles, is a place called Horn Island. Now, Horn Island is one of the sort of most notorious but lesser known places in the history of mind control, mind manipulation, experimentation, kind of similar to MKUltra. And a lot of research was done on Horn Island, and it involved and revolved around hallucinogenic technology, you know, to see how you literally sort of releasing aerosol-based hallucinogens into the sky and see what the outcome is. And this was done in the throughout the 50s, 60s, and rumors also that it went on in the 1970s. Now, some people might say it's only a coincidence, but when you've got one of the most famous and visible alien abduction stories, and it all occurred just a couple of miles from a place where hallucinogenics and mind-altering phenomena was used to see how it could be developed for the battlefield. You know, when you put those two things together, I have to wonder, you know, was it a real abduction by aliens, or was it a situation where the two men, Parker and Hickson, were plunged into very altered states of mind that the UFO event, if you like, was played out. It was like theatre. And then afterwards, the guys that were involved that did it sit back and see how precisely or not the two guys themselves responded to this. And you can learn a great deal from using human guinea pigs in that fashion. You know, you just sit back and watch the experiment play out. And I recommend people to sort of look into this angle between a specific area of the Mississippi River, the abduction, and Horn Island. And it really opens your eyes, you know, when you look at it from that entire perspective. And that's why I use that story in the book, because it actually parallels some of the allegations made in relation to Rendlesham Forest as well.
I should point out that we've had Calvin Parker on the PowerCast a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Really good guy. I agree with you. He's honestly attempting to report what really happened. Let me throw out one thing before we go to the case history of Rendlesham. Betty and Barney Hill, okay, live right near a military base, friends in the military. Anything there that indicates a possible government experiment?
Well, yes, I've also got a chapter in the book, in the Rendlesham book, on the whole issue of the interrupted journey, Betty and Barney Hill. The reason for that, primarily, again, is to, what I do towards the end of the book is to show a few examinations, other cases, classic cases where I think they too could have been tied to the whole issue of experimentation rather than extraterrestrial event. One of the most intriguing things about all of this is not so much just the case itself, the Betty and Barney Hill case, which just about everybody knows. What a lot of people don't know is the backstory of John Fuller. In the 1950s, mid to late 1950s, John Fuller, as a professional journalist, was actually approached by people who were working on the MK Ultra program. One of them actually tried to get Fuller to be able to sort of blow the story, you know, of MK Ultra back in the 50s. And at the time, Fuller was kind of, yes, it was a great story, but even he had his limits when it came to the fear factor and chose not at that time, at least, to go with the story. But he actually had insiders in the 1950s who did share data upon becoming a friend, if you like, or an ally with some of these people in the CIA. And Fuller became an expert on the field of sort of mind manipulation, although that's not known too well. But the extent to which his interest grew in the latter part of the 1960s, he wrote a book on a notorious event that occurred in the early 1950s in France, when an entire village was plunged into this state of like psychedelic madness. It was put down to a substance called ergot, which can cause graphic sort of situations and changes in the human mind and hallucinations. But the rumor was that this was done by France's intelligence agencies working alongside US intelligence, and it was essentially a case of using this little French village as a place to operate and carry out this experiment.
Well, let's break it here. Got more to come. We're focusing on other experimentation before we hone in on Rendlesham with Gene and Randall and Nick Redfern. We're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Nick Redfern, the book is The Rendlesham Forest UFO Conspiracy, A Close Encounter Exposes a Top Secret Government Experiment. And as Nick says, well, look, we've got the Pascagoula, Mississippi case, we've got Betty and Barney Hill, we've got Roswell. What started you on the search for Rendlesham, Nick? Was it these other cases, or did that all come over the years with different kinds of research?
Well, it was kind of, I guess, kind of like a combination of the two scenarios, and by that, growing up as a kid in the UK, you know, everybody has heard of Rendlesham Forest. It's kind of like, not only is it sort of visibly, you know, on the same scale in the UK as Roswell is over here, but even people, you know, in the UK, if you say, what's Rendlesham Forest? Everybody will say, oh, yeah, that's where the UFO landed. You know, it's kind of like if you ask somebody over here, what's Roswell? Everyone knows, regardless of whether they know much about UFOs or not. So it really was a big case, as I said, when I was a kid. And the first book on the subject, which is called Sky Crash, written by Brenda Butler, Dot Street, and Jenny Randalls, they did a really good job. Bear in mind that, you know, the case occurred in 1980, or the incident, December 1980, but there was hardly anything in the public domain then, so they did a really good job of sort of ferreting out a lot of good material. But in their first book, and in Jenny Randall's second and third book, there was always sort of little references to the idea that, well, what if it wasn't a UFO event? What if it was some sort of military technology, and maybe the technology was directed against the military personnel to see how they reacted to strange phenomena that suddenly plunged in front of them? So I was obviously sort of mindful of these particular theories, but the weird thing was nobody had ever really decided to put all the data together on this so-called secret experiment angle and then pursue it with other leads and other contacts and do interviews. It, for whatever reason, whether it was, sort of subconscious kind of angle of not wanting to rock the boat, I don't know. But the secret experiment angle in all of the books, as it's, whether it's Jenny's, Brenda's, Dot's, Nick Pope's book, Georgina Bruni's book, all written books on Rendlesham Forest, but they only gave like, you know, a few, half a dozen pages on the experiment angle. But the threads were really interesting, so that's why I chose to look into it and just push and push and pursue to the point where we are right now. And I felt, you know, it was important to address this angle that, you know, almost like the elephant in the room, you know, nobody wanted to talk about it apart from the bare bones. But if there's bare bones, well, maybe you can put meat on it.
And that you did. So I'd like to kind of jump right into the middle of the book in chapter 12, where you kind of go through a fictional version of what you think may have happened. Can you just walk us through that? And that'll give us kind of a loose framework on which to build the rest.
Well, I mean, are you talking about the story of Ralph Noyes?
I think it's where you mentioned a novel by Nick Pope.
Well, this is one of the interesting things about this in relation to Rendlesham. A number of people who worked in the British Ministry of Defence wrote novels. In two cases, they actually involved Rendlesham. One of them, the most visible one, was Nick Pope. Nick wrote a book called Operation Thunderchild, which was a novel, and it was followed by Operation Lightning Strike. Certainly, in the first novel, Rendlesham is mentioned on a number of occasions. And, of course, Nick has also written a non-fiction book on Rendlesham. Now, of course, because Nick worked in the MOD on the UFO desk as well, you know, people said, well, has he written this novel based upon top secrets that he learned about in the MOD? And I don't think that is the case, but there's one guy who I think actually did know the truth of the matter and tried his best to reveal the truth in a novel because he was concerned about doing it in a non-fiction fashion. And this was a guy named Ralph Noyes, and that's N-O-Y-E-S rather than Noyes. Ralph Noyes had a lifetime career in the British Air Ministry in the 50s and 60s, and then when it became the 1970s, he continued in the Ministry of Defence, as it then became named. In 1985, Ralph Noyes wrote a novel called A Secret Property. And it's kind of hard to get now, but you can find it on Amazon, A Secret Property. It was published in 1985, and it's essentially a fictional version of Rendlesham, but it's so close, it's almost laughable. For example, in the real story, you've got Charles Holt, Colonel Holt, who wrote the famous memo about the events. But in the novel, Colonel Holt is Colonel Hoyt. And the two military bases that are involved, Woodbridge and Bentwaters, are combined into one called Bentbridge. In other words, you know, the whole thing is just like a story-based version of Rendlesham. However, the important and interesting thing is that in the novel, the Ministry of Defence and their scientists learn that the phenomenon that is involved actually isn't extraterrestrial technology, and the thrust of it revolves around technology and visions created by the human mind, which can be expanded upon. So in other words, the whole thing is sort of driven by sophisticated mirages, holograms, the ability to manipulate the human mind, and to do so as a means to terrify and frighten the enemy by suddenly plunging them into these sort of projected imagery. And that is extremely close in terms of the theme to most of the data that I got from the various people I interviewed. And ironically, that's also that particular angle that has been touched on in some of the other books, the nonfiction books written on Rendlesham. So, yeah, the story of Ralph Noyes is an interesting one, because when you read his novel and when what you read what he said afterwards, you know, in a very carefully worded fashion, he was clearly trying to tell a real story, but not to lose his pension with the government, because he wouldn't be getting too close to the truth. So I think if the truth, the full picture comes out in relation to Rendlesham, I think we'll see that Ralph Noyes was one of the few people who possibly knew the whole story, but feared what would happen if he came out with it.
And what it all seems to add up to is some kind of psychic weapon that's composed of, as you say, various ways to confuse people and fool them into thinking something is there when it's not, through the means of electronics and possibly chemical mind control.
Yes, that's exactly. And when you've sort of got mind control, I mean, the words mind control into a lot of people, and sometimes quite rightly, you know, it just sort of provokes images of totally paranoid people, you know, peering through the curtains and thinking the CIA watching them 24/7. But, you know, the fact is, mind control, mind manipulation, things like this, you know, it is, in terms of the history of intelligence agencies around the world, you know, it's been a primary aspect. And I think one of the fallings within the field of ufology is that so many people in ufology have yet to grasp the connection between so-called UFO events and mind manipulation. And there's so much out there that still has to be sort of touched and mined, you know, that I'm sure that other cases may one day be sort of shown to be something that they actually weren't.
We're going to continue with a lot more of this, the Rendlesham Forest UFO conspiracy, as Meg Redfern paints the background of what led him to conclude that this was a top-secret government experiment, not a visitation by E.T. And I'm going to ask him a quick question before we go back to Rendlesham, and that is a case that to me is somewhat similar because of the alleged injury that was a result, which is Cash Landrum. So we'll get into that in our next segment and get back into Rendlesham with Gene Randall and Nick. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.